Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
You may be seated. One thing you have to love about the Scriptures are the past perfects. That is, in grammar. And I know that's all you wanted today to hear was Pastor Roberts giving you a grammar lesson, right? So happy Easter! The past perfect form of the verb, stay with me, don't fall asleep yet, okay? Hang on. The past perfect form of the verb indicates completed action at some point in the past before something else happened. Everybody still awake? If not, we have this little German that'll come out with a ruler and waking you up, I guess. So now I'm going to give you the infinitive form of the verb, and I want you to tell me the past perfect form. Are you ready? To be. Not was, no. Had been. Had been. Okay, try again. To do. Had done. To say. Good. To have. Had had. Had had. That's a tough one, right? One more. To get. Had gotten. Had gotten. Okay, now you're all experts at the past perfect tense. Or at least one of you. The rest of you back to school. In today's gospel, there are four important past perfects showing action completed beforehand, and these past perfects really make the joy of the resurrection, the mystery of it, and just everything that the gospel is more complete. And I hope you rejoice in these past perfects in our text today. The first one is heard when the women, Mary Magdalene and Mary the mother of James and Salome, were on their way to anoint Jesus with spices that they had bought. It says, see if you can spot it, and very early on the first day of the week, when the sun had risen, they went to the tomb. Did you hear it? The first past perfect orients us to the time of day when the resurrection was first discovered. Early in the morning, when the sun had risen. Of course, both in the English and in the Greek, the sun is spelled S-U-N, not S-O-N, indicating the great light of the sky. But there is a welcome play on words there, isn't there? The early church recognized that. They like to play on that word too. The sun had risen. And perhaps also they got it from the Old Testament, because Malachi chapter 4 verse 2 says, "But for those who fear my name, the sun, S-U-N, of righteousness shall rise with healing in its wings." How wonderful that God had planned the rising of his sun with the rising sun. For Jesus truly is the light of lights. And he is the star of stars. He reveals the glory and the beauty of the Lord, who is over all and in all. Remember, the sun makes life possible here on earth. It is no coincidence that the ancient Greeks and later the Romans and then the Egyptians and then everybody was assigning the first day of the week to the sun. In German, it's Sonntag, Sunday. In modern Greek, it's Kyrake, which is the Lord's Day. But in Russian, it is Voskresenye, which is Resurrection Day. Now, whatever you think about the Russians in the news right now, I know. Please remember that there are loving Christians throughout the whole world, including Russia. Gretchen's dad, my wife's dad, lives in Russia. And he's wonderful Christians there. I have great friends in Russia. And they're very compassionate, loving Christians. So don't believe everything in the news, like all of Russia is just like what you see. But in their language, also don't forget that Sunday is Resurrection Day. What is it for you when you come to church? Is it just another church day? Just another get ready to come see other people and I have to act on my best behavior day? Or is it Resurrection Day? The Son of the Sky, however, the first of the past perfects in our text, had risen. The second past perfect comes right after the women asked, "Who will roll away the stone? For it's large. How are we going to get that stone away?" And looking up, they saw that the stone had been rolled back. It was very large. Before the women arrived, the act of rolling back the stone was already complete. What this makes clear is that the events of Easter involved mystery and causes unknown until revealed. No human being caused the stone to be rolled back. Nothing in Scripture says so. No one also caused the sun to rise that morning, did they? It had been done, past perfect, apart from any human intervention. In contrast, by the way, to Good Friday, just a couple days ago, Jesus on the cross, there are no past perfects to speak of. There's only very much actives and participles and aorist verbs. Jesus was betrayed by Judas. Soldiers mocked and killed him. Disciples fleeing away so as not to be crucified with Christ. No had-beens, no had-saids, no had-hads, no had-gottens. God saved the past perfects for Easter. The third past perfect in our text is the message of the young man sitting at the right side of where Jesus would have been laying had he been there. This young man, robed in white, alarmed the women. So he said, "Do not be alarmed. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He is not here. He has risen." Past perfect. See the place where they lay him. The evidence of the greatest miracle of all began with the missing body of Jesus. He had risen. Was the astonishing explanation, completed before human eyes could see it. For it does not please God to do everything in the sight of people. You weren't there when God created the world. That is something that no human being will ever get to see, will they? Unless God reveals it somehow later on. But also God doesn't show us the resurrection of Christ Jesus, not to any human being, does he? The same God that created the world keeps the mystery of Jesus rising from the dead in the tomb away from human sight. And it pleases God to extend this message of faith, evidenced by the open tomb, evidenced by the white-robed man saying he has risen, and then later evidenced by the risen body of Jesus himself. And by faith, I do not just mean Jesus risen from the dead, but that before any human intervention could be possible, God had perfectly planned his son's cross and resurrection, the source of our justification. As Scripture says, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. You didn't get your life straight and perfect before God said, "Okay, I'll die for you." God determined beforehand the death and the resurrection of his son for you, that hearts might be changed and believe and trust and have the hope of everlasting life. Even once Scripture says, before the foundation of the world, God had the son crucified in view, or the lamb that was slain before the foundation of the world. The past perfects in our text bear witness to the gospel of Easter as pure gift. The gospel is that God saves through his Son, crucified and risen. And it is to be received by faith. It is not works of the law, which we all fail at, which is all active presence and futurist fancies, not the past perfects of his Son's work completed for you. You see, before you decided on God, God had already had in mind the crucifixion and resurrection of his Son. Before you accepted Jesus in your heart, God had already decided on the death and resurrection of his Son. Before you made the leap of faith, before you died in unbelief, God had already decided in his mercy and his love to send his Son to die for the sins of the whole world. God's past perfects alone make for a perfect future. Jesus, as the sun rises apart from you each morning, Just as the sun rises each morning apart from you, so also the sun had risen from the dead apart from you and your faith. It was, it totally is, up to God's gracious will to save. And that's truly good news. For how many of you can make your past perfect? How many of you right now, if I say you promise me right here and now that you'll never sin again, can follow through? If you said yes to that question, we have a little German man in a trench coat and a ruler who will come by with all those people with bad theology and yell, "Lies, lies, lies!" But believe me, it is better than what you could be forsaking if you don't heed what God has revealed. Apart from you, yet for you. The gift of His Son, the gospel of His grace. He had risen. He has risen, perfect action complete, and He still is now risen from the dead. And He lives and reigns to all eternity. This is most certainly true. The fourth and final past perfect in our text today is the woman's reaction to the empty tomb and the white-robed messenger. It says, fear and trembling seized them, had seized them. And this would be an understandable reaction to seeing the empty tomb and the white-robed messenger and Jesus missing. 2 days earlier, Jesus had been crucified and buried. But behold now, the empty tomb, the message of Jesus returned to life. That was then, and this is now. Who are the living witnesses of Jesus' resurrection today? We, the church. Are we afraid and astonished like they are? Well, we can sympathize with the fear and trembling, but we are not afraid to hear this message over and over, as many of you come yearly to hear the message of Easter and to celebrate the feast. Some, however, are afraid to declare their hope in a living Jesus to a dying world. How about you? Is Jesus' resurrection just for Easter? Just for family and friends at church? Or is Jesus' resurrection more than that? Is it for those who don't yet believe? Is it those who even reject and scoff at the Lord Jesus? Because there was a few of those around Jesus at the cross, too. We say in our creed, I believe in the resurrection of the body and the life of the world to come. Scripture says, every knee will bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. I pray this day that He who made your past perfect through Jesus' death and open tomb, and He who promises to make your future paradise, may seize you, not with fear of being a fool on April Fool's Day or a fool on your deathbed, but may seize you with the joy of believing and holding fast to the truth revealed on Easter and the sharing of His love for all creatures. By the same power that raised Jesus back to life, may He seize you with hope and boldness in sharing this message with others. So that every day is Sunday, the Lord's Day, or as they say in Russia, Voskresenye, Resurrection Day. God grant it for Jesus' sake. Amen. Hallelujah. Christ is risen.